Next, the golden days of radio.
This is Frank Brzee inviting you to join me for the golden days of radio. Great moments from radio programs of the past, headlining some of the world's most famous personalities. On this program, we are featuring Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce in The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Now here's Basil Rathbone as Sherlock Holmes and Nigel Bruce as Dr. Watson as we present this 1939 edition of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's famous Adventures of Sherlock Holmes.
The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, starring Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. And now, here we are again on our usual visit to Dr. Watson. He's waiting for us in his study, a cheerful blaze crackling on the hearth.
I'm very relieved to see you, Mr. Manning. Hasn't the weather been atrocious today? I was beginning to wonder if you'd be able to get here tonight through all this fog.
Yes, it certainly is what you Londoners call a regular pea super.
Yes, indeed. It reminds me of the adventure of the missing submarine plans. A case that was solved in the underground.
Underground?
What you Americans call a subway.
Yes, but what has a solution in a subway got to do with a foggy night?
Well, you see, the affair started in weather exactly like this. It was the third week in November, the year 1895, to be exact. Holmes, if you must pace around in circles, I wish you'd change directions now and then. You're making me dizzy.
Bah! It's inexcusable, Watson. Inexcusable. No initiative, no imagination. Nothing ever gets done.
If you're alluding to the inactivity in this last session of Parliament, my dear Holmes...
I'm not speaking of our lawmakers, Watson, but of our lawbreakers. The London criminal is certainly a dull fellow.
What makes you say that?
Well, look out of the window. Ideal weather for committing a crime. Criminal advances on his intended victim practically unseen. He pounces and disappears into thin air.
There have been numerous petty thefts,
ah,
I believe.
Petty thefts. Pickpockets, ragamuffins. What's the country coming to? Oh, hello, hello. Mrs. Hudson's knocking. Excited. What's up, I wonder? Yes, Mrs. Hudson, what is it? Oh, a telegram for me.
Yes, sir.
Very well, thank you.
Oh, well, what's it say?
Well, it's from my brother, Mycroft. You remember him. He's coming here.
Why not? What's so phenomenal about
it? Why not? Why not, indeed? It's as startling as it would be to meet a tram car coming down a country lane. Yes, yes, now I come to think of it. Mycroft is rather like a tram car. His rails lead from his Pall Mall lodgings to the Diogenes Club in Whitehall. That's his circle. I wonder what upheaval could have derailed him.
Doesn't the telegram explain?
It says, must see you about Cadogan West, coming at once.
Why, that's the young chap who's found dead in the underground on Tuesday morning. I remember reading about it in the papers.
Oh?
The young man had apparently fallen out of a train and killed himself. He hadn't been robbed, and there was no reason to suspect violence. Quite an uninteresting case, if I remember correctly.
And yet, it's serious enough to cause Mycroft to alter his habits. No, Watson, this must be an extraordinary event. Do you recall any other facts about the affair?
Yes, I come to think of it, there was one unusual bit about came out of the inquest. They were unable to ascertain at what point he entered the train, because his ticket was missing.
Strange. What articles were found on the body?
Oh, £2.15, I believe it was, a checkbook and... Oh, yes, 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 two dress circle tickets for the Woolwich Theatre, dated for that evening.
Theatre tickets, eh? Then it wasn't suicide. A man doesn't procure theatre tickets for the evening on which he intends to end his life. Anything else?
A small packet of technical papers, I believe.
Technical papers? What kind of technical papers?
The newspapers didn't say.
Ah, as serious as that. What did the young man do? Where was he employed?
He was a clerk at Woolwich Arsenal.
Ah, government employ. There we have it, Watson. British government, Woolwich Arsenal, technical papers. That's why Mycroft is involved in this affair.
I don't understand.
No, I suppose not. Watson, have I ever told you what Mycroft is?
Your brother, of course.
Oh, no, Watson. Do you have to be so dense? I mean, do you know what he does?
I seem to have some vague recollection that you once told me that he'd held some small office under the British government.
It would be more accurate to say, in a way, that he is the British government.
What?
His position is unique. He made it for himself. As the tidiest and most orderly brain of any man alive, with a great capacity for storing facts and giving them the proper interpretation. The conclusions of every government department are passed on to him. He's the central exchange, the clearinghouse. Again and again, his word has decided the national policy. He thinks of nothing else. Nothing else can lure him from his contemplations.
And yet he's coming here.
Yes, Jupiter is descending on us today.
What on earth can happen?
Watson, that sounds suspiciously like a bad pun. Ah, here he is, if I'm not mistaken, to speak for himself. Come in, come in. Hello, Mycroft. What's up? What's up? You look flustered.
Most annoying business, Sherlock. Most annoying. You know how I dislike altering my habits. Extremely awkward for me to come away from the office, particularly with Siam in its present state. Oh, dear me.
Yeah, sit down, Mycroft. Sit down. You know Watson, of course.
Yes, of course. I'm trying to find a chair that I can trust to hold me.
I'd better take the sofa. You certainly haven't got any thinner.
I've never seen the Prime Minister so upset. As for the Admiralty, it's buzzing like an upset beehive. You know anything about the case?
Watson's just been telling me what was in the newspapers. Just what were the technical papers found on the body?
Sherlock, for the love of heaven, not so loud. Those papers which the wretched youth had in his pocket were none other than the plans of the Bruce Partington submarine.
Oh?
A submarine which will completely revolutionize naval warfare. The most important papers in our government archives. Under no circumstances could they be removed from the office. Even the chief constructor of the Navy was forced to go to Woolwich if he desired to consult them.
And yet we find them in the pockets of a dead junior clerk in the heart of London. Yeah, from an official point of view, it's deplorable, my dear Mycroft. Simply deplorable.
You may laugh, Sherlock, but this country won't be safe until they are recovered.
But I thought you said that they were found in the pocket of this chap, Cadogan West.
10 papers taken from Woolwich. 7 were found in the pockets of Cadogan West. 3 are still missing, the 3 essential ones. To recover those 3 papers is imperative. The peace of Europe depends on...
Nice little problem, eh, Watson? Why did Cadogan West take the papers? How did he die? How did his body reach the place where it was found? And where are the missing papers?
Find the answer to those questions, Sherlock, and you'll have done your country an invaluable service.
Oh, why don't you solve it yourself, Mycroft? I believe you could.
Possibly. But it's a question of digging out details. Give me the details, and I can give you the solution from an armchair. No, when it comes to running about and cross-questioning railway guards and lying on one's face with a lens to one's eye... No, that's not my métier.
Besides, your figure prevents your taking such an undignified position, eh? Very well. Leave that part of it to us, eh, Watson?
Right you are.
Good. I've got a cab waiting outside to take the place where the body was found. I can give you the details on the way.
Now, Mycroft, who was the official guardian of these famous papers?
No less a personage than Sir James Walter, a gentleman who's grown gray in the service. His patriotism is beyond suspicion.
A bachelor, if I'm not mistaken. Lives with his brother.
Yes. He was at the house of Admiral Sinclair at Berkeley Square during the whole of the evening when this accident occurred. The Admiral vouches for him. He's one of the two who have the only keys to the safe.
And his key was with him all evening?
Right. His key, the key to the building, the key to the room.
Who was the man with the other key?
The senior clerk, Mr. Sidney Johnson. Man of 40, married, silent, morose, with an excellent service record.
Any alibi?
He too had his key with him. Seems to have spent the evening playing a game of draughts with a green grocer around the corner from his lodgings. Of course, he has only the word of this greengrocer to back him up.
Oh, come, my dear Mycroft. No class discriminations, please. The word of a greengrocer is often just as good as that of an admiral. What about Cadogan West?
He had a good reputation. A bit hot-headed, but straight and honest. At least, everyone thought so. He was next to Sidney Johnson at the office. His duties brought him into daily personal contact with the plans. No one else ever had the handling of them.
Oh, it's perfectly clear. He must have taken...
Not so fast, Watson. Not so fast. Who locked them up that night?
Mr. Sidney Johnson.
They were of value, commercially, I mean.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt that West could have got several thousands for them very easily.
And yet, only a small amount of money was found on the body.
Perhaps the buyer took it back after he'd murdered West.
What puzzles me is, how did West obtain possession of those papers? To do so, he must have had a false key.
Several false keys, Sherlock. He had to open the building and the room as well.
Oh, well, several false keys then. Let me see. Suppose West did take the papers and went into town. And on the way back to Woolwich, where he is hoping to replace the papers, he's killed and thrown from the train.
But the spot where the body was found is considerably past the station for London Bridge, which is the route to Woolwich.
It's interesting. Also, if young West did make an appointment with some foreign agent to sell the papers that night, why didn't he keep the evening clear? Why buy 2 theater tickets?
Exactly. Furthermore, he actually escorted his fiancée halfway there before he disappeared.
A blind That's what it looks like to me.
Why did he take the papers at all? Why not copy them out in the office and sell the copies? He certainly had plenty of opportunity to do so. And why the absence of his underground ticket?
Perhaps the ticket would have shown us which station was near the agent's house. So the murderer destroyed it.
Good, Watson. Very good. And yet, I wonder...
Well, here's the underground station. The railway authorities have sent a man round to show you the exact place where the body was found.
You won't change your mind and come with us?
Well, crawling round that black hole on my hands and knees is not very likely. Well, I shall expect a report on your efforts this evening.
I never expect too much, Mycroft. Never expect too much.
Sometimes I wish I hadn't married. All my wife does is nag, nag, nag.
What happened now?
Oh, she keeps telling me I should get SGLI insurance night and day, day and night. SGLI, SGLI.
Then you haven't signed up for SGLI?
Right.
You don't have security and protection for your family?
Right.
And you're not buying the lowest cost insurance found anywhere?
Right.
And you aren't taking advantage of SGLI's new rate, which is 15% lower?
Right.
You know what you are.
What?
Wrong.
Where are we off to now in this fog?
Yes, it's a nice afternoon. Suppose we pay a few calls. I think Sir James Walter claims our first attention. After that, we might drop in on Miss Westbury.
Miss Westbury? Who's she?
She is Cadogan West's fiancée and the last person to see him alive.
Holmes, we seem to be going around in circles. We've accomplished absolutely nothing so far except to get ourselves nearly annihilated in the underground. After all, it's perfectly obvious that the young man had a quarrel with someone, in all probability to the agent, to whom he sold the papers, and got himself thrown out of the railway carriage for his pains.
I disagree with you, my dear Watson. His body fell from the roof of the carriage where it had been placed. Cadogan West met his death elsewhere.
The roof of the train?
Consider the facts, Watson. A, the curve in the tracks. The body is found at a spot where the train pitches and sways as it comes around the points. B, there was no ticket. C, there were no signs of bleeding on the line because the body had bled elsewhere.
Of course, everything fits together, But where was the body placed on the train?
I think I can make a fair guess of that, my dear Watson. Here we are. This is the famous official villa of Sir James Walter. And that, if I'm not mistaken, is his brother, Colonel Ballantyne, just coming out of the house.
What's the matter with the man? He looks positively haunted.
Oh, pardon me, Colonel Ballantyne, but can you tell me if Sir James is at home?
Sir James, sir? Sir James is dead.
Good heavens, dead?
He died this morning. It's terrible. Terrible.
How did he die?
Oh, it's this horrible scandal. My brother, sir, was very sensitive of his honor. He couldn't survive the disgrace to his department. It broke his heart. Pardon me, gentlemen, I must go. It broke his heart.
Most appalling development. Eh, Holmes?
I wonder if his death was natural, or if the poor fellow killed himself.
Yes?
Will you tell Miss Westbury that Mr. Sherlock Holmes would like to see her?
Oh, please come in, gentlemen. I'm Violet Westbury, Mr. Holmes. I've been expecting you ever since I heard you had taken the case. Please be seated.
Well, thank you.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, we must save his good name. He couldn't have done it. Cadogan was the most chivalrous, patriotic gentleman on earth. He couldn't have done it. He would have cut his right hand off rather than sell a state secret.
But the facts, my dear Miss Westbury.
I admit I can't explain them.
Was he in need of money?
No, Mr. Holmes. His need was simple and his salary very good. He'd saved several hundred pounds. We were to be married at the new year.
I see. Had you noticed any signs of mental excitement? Come, Miss Westbury, be frank with us.
Yes, Mr. Holmes. That night, I had a feeling that there was something on his mind.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it, will you?
We were on the way to the theater. It was a foggy night, you remember? We were walking slowly. Our way took us close to his office. Cadogan seemed thoughtful and worried.
Hello, what's that?
What's what?
Over there, that shadow moving along the side of the building. It's a man. So that's it. I always suspected...
Oh, what's the matter? You're so excited. What's wrong?
Stay here, Violet. There's something I have to find out. Stay here.
waited and waited, but he never returned. Oh, Mr. Holmes, if you could only save his honor, it meant so much to him.
We shall do our best, Miss Westbury. This shadow, this man moving along the building, did you see it too?
I think I did, Mr. Holmes. But the night was so foggy, I can't be sure. But there must have been a man. Another man. It couldn't have been Cadogan. Surely character goes for something.
Let us hope so. Come along, Watson. We must return home. I'm expecting an answer to some telegrams I sent Mycroft early this afternoon. We've done enough for one day.
Holmes, where have you been all day? You left this morning before I was up. Now you've come home with your towel awry, your suit torn, and as ravenous as a wolf.
Yes, I've had a bit of exercise, my dear Watson. Pass me the tongue, will you? It would have done you good to go along.
Yes, what were you doing?
Investigating the premises inhabited by foreign spies known to have been in London on last Monday. Mycroft sent me a list of them. Took a bit of doing, too. Climbing walls, breaking into cellars, prowling around rooftops.
Well?
I discovered there was only one residence which had the proper facilities for disposing of West's body after the murder.
Well, whose residence was that?
It belongs to a Hugo Oberstein. The address is 13 Caulfield Gardens, Kensington. The gentleman himself has departed for Europe.
Gone, has he? If he took the plans with him, it's too late.
Not necessarily, Watson.
What can we do now?
We're going to keep a rendezvous with the gentleman who stole and sold those plans. The assignation will take place at Mr. Oberstein's house this evening at 9.
What the deuce are you talking about?
These newspaper clippings. I found them in the drawer of Hugo Oberstein's desk. Read them.
Hmm. The Daily Telegraph agony column. The first one says, too complex for description, must have full report, terms agreed to, payable when goods delivered. Signed, Pirro. Piero, indeed. Sounds like a Mardi Gras.
Now, read on, Watson. Read on.
Second goes, matter presses must withdraw offer unless contract completed. Piero again.
And the last? Dated Monday, the day the crime was committed.
Monday night after 9, 2 taps, payment in hard cash. I say, do you think it was a submarine that the plans that he was buying?
I'm almost positive. And Piero was Oberstein himself. But we'll find out for certain this evening. I've invited the gentleman who sold the papers to meet us.
How? I don't understand.
I inserted this advertisement in today's Daily Telegraph. Tonight, same hour, same place, 2 taps, vitally important. Your own safety at stake. Signed, Piero, as usual.
By George, if he answers that, we've got him.
Unless we're too late. Come along, Watson. There's no time to lose. You can take this package for a change. I've been carrying it around all day.
What's in it?
Oh, just a jemmy, a dark lantern, a chisel, and a revolver.
Nice equipment for a respectable citizen to be carrying about the streets of London, I must
say. Yeah, you know, Watson, there are times when I suspect we aren't quite respectable. Here we are. This is Caulfield Gardens.
Thank heavens, it's still foggy. I shouldn't like to be caught in the act of housebreaking.
Yeah. Oh, this wall, Watson. There's a window we can easily pry open in the back.
Scale that wall?
Oh, come on, hurry up, hurry up. There's no time to lose. Here. I'll give you a boost. Come on, up here. That's it. Look out, here I come.
I must say, Holmes, you're as agile as a cat. It's uncanny.
This is the window. Light the lantern and give me the jemmy. One. Two.
Holmes, the underground runs right past here, almost on the level of these windows. I could have reached out and touched it.
Yes, quite convenient, wasn't it? It was here the body was placed on the roof of the train. Look on this windowsill. You can see the soot is blurred where they rested the body. And here, look here, look. This brown stain is blood.
Nasty, Holmes. Let's get on into the house.
Very well, then. Come along. The window's open. Easy, don't break the glass.
Supposing Oberstein should happen to return home.
Well, we must take our chances in this business. Come along, Watson, come along. Our visitor will expect to be let in by the front door.
I wish these stairs didn't squeak so.
9 o'clock. We can expect him at any moment now. You take your position on one side of the door. I'll be on the other. So we can pounce on him when he enters. I'll throw my greatcoat over his head.
Oh, well, I wish he'd hurry.
Shh, Watson.
I wonder what if he doesn't come.
There he is. Ready now. I'll open the door.
You wanted me?
No, you don't. Take that.
What's easy, Watson, easy.
All right, Holmes, I've got him.
Well, let's take a look at our catch. Take the overcoat away, Watson.
Right. Hi, it's Colonel Valentine Walter, Sir James's brother.
Quite. Well, sir, what have you to say for yourself? Why did you steal the Bruce Partington plans?
Who are you? What do you know about this?
I am Sherlock Holmes, and I know everything.
Oh, this is terrible.
I'm lost. I didn't realize their importance until my brother killed himself. But I needed the money. I had to have it. Oberstein offered to give it to me if I'd let him see the plans.
So you took an impression of your brother's key, opened the safe, and procured the papers. Cadogan West saw you leaving the building, followed you here, and you killed him.
No, I didn't do that. I swear I didn't do it.
No? Then perhaps you'd better tell us who did murder Cadogan West and placed him on the roof of the railway carriage.
I'll tell you. I promise you I will. I did the rest. I confess it, but not that.
Very well, then. How did it happen?
I got the papers, as you've discovered. Made my way through the fog until I reached the door. Once or twice, I fancied I was being followed. I could hear footsteps on the pavement behind me.
Colonel Walder?
Yes?
You have the papers?
Yes. Let me in, quick. I think someone's been following me.
Yes, it's me. Yeah. You can't do this, Valentine. It's treason.
Corey, do you hear?
No. You can't sell the papers, Valentine. I won't let you.
They shall see.
Look out, West.
Take that. How do you like that, my impetuous young friend? Papa Oberstein, he knows how to use a blackjack, eh?
You've killed him.
So?
It's murder. I'm going to get out of this.
Oh, no. I think different. You will come in here if you do not wish to taste a blackjack, too.
But...
That is better.
Oh, what can we do? They'll find the body.
I have an idea. First, I look at those papers. I take the ones I want and the rest you put in the pocket of this foolish young man. And then we give him a nice ride on top of the underground train, no? He will be the guilty one. Who will ever know?
What a thoroughly unpleasant gentleman. What a pity that he got away with the papers, Dr. Watson.
Oh, but he didn't. Oberstein had left a Paris forwarding address with Colonel Walters. That gentleman sent him a letter dictated by Holmes, saying that he had discovered that one essential detail in the plans was missing, and that he had procured a tracing which would make it complete for a price.
And did Oberstein swallow the bait?
Did he swallow it? He was arrested as he got off the boat at Folkestone. Some weeks later, I learned incidentally that Holmes had spent a day at Windsor Castle and returned with a remarkably fine emerald tie-pin. When I asked him where he got it, he answered it was just a small present from a certain gracious little old lady for whom he'd been able to do a small favor.
Yes, and I think I can guess the lady's august name.
Elementary, my dear Mr. Manning, elementary.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the Golden Days of Radio. Are you one of those who take for granted the liberties and freedoms granted you as an American citizen? Take the freedom to choose your own occupation. Our democratic free enterprise system opens the door for the responsible and industrious citizen to find the job or business which best suits him. These freedoms granted to you cannot be taken for granted. All freedoms must be cherished and protected. This is Frank Brzee in Hollywood, California, inviting you to join me next week for more shows and personalities from radio's golden days. This is the American Forces Radio and Television Service.